Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robert Soap. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Can you please pray for us?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, we come to you this evening to study your word. And as you teach us, all scripture is given by your inspiration. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Lord, we just want to study your truth this night, Father, to dispel any cultural myths,
yes, Lord.
Any false teachings or false beliefs. Lord, we just want to draw closer to you.
Yes, Lord.
For you are the great creator. You've made each and every one of us, and you care for each of us, Father. We just praise and magnify your name. Only you are worthy to be praised. Thank you so much, Father, for the study, for the things that you're teaching us. We just give the glory back to you, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for your praise. Okay, for those who are with us live tonight, we would like you to use the chat if you want to ask questions. And while the teaching is going on, we will get back to you. And for those who are on the phone, we want you to take this number, 561-406-9853, and you can leave your questions on the machines, and we will get back to you. And we are asking you to please keep everything quiet around you, something like radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. And though at the end of the teaching, please stay with us. We are going to unmute everyone, and you will have the opportunity to ask questions or make a comment. So it's a great time, and we thank you for joining us tonight. Let's read our text today. That is from 1 Samuel 16, beginning at verse 6 to 13. And I'm reading. Okay, take your Bible. This is a Bible study. Just open your Bible. All right, let me read. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eli and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shimei pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was rooted with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ribmah, went back home. All right. Now, here, what we're going to learn tonight We will continue our study of David. Now, what we started last week was the world in which David lived. Today, we will be looking at some other aspects of the things concerning David. We started that David came into the history of Israel at a time when the people of God rejected God as their king. That's what we studied last week. So if you have not watched the video last week, I'm asking you to please go back there and watch it, because it's going to help you as we continue this study. Samuel came into the picture when the people of God rejected God, and they told David, right? And they told Samuel that they wanted a king like the other nations to lead them. That broke Samuel, the prophet's heart, so much. And he cried to God. You know, God had been leading Israel God delivered Israel 400 plus years through the hands of Moses from the land of Egypt. And God was their king. God led them from place to place. God provided for them. God fought for them. But when they came to a certain stage of life, they decided to do what? To lead. They needed a king to lead them. And that was a major problem for the prophet Samuel. The worst thing, they wanted to be like the other nations around them. This request was a complete rejection of God's leadership. So God, from our study last week, God said, all right, Samuel, I know you're crying to me, but since they need a king, give them one. And thereupon, what we said, Saul was appointed as king over Israel. And that's what we learned last night. Now, during the time of Saul, there was constant fight within Israel with regard to their surrounding neighbors. They were fighting almost day and night. All right? Hey, Rob, you said you have a comment here.
Yes, a couple thoughts. One thing I noticed is David is the eighth and youngest son of Jesse.
Right.
And he's anointed by king by Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to point out that there is a significance to him being the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back to Genesis 17, verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you,
uh-huh,
every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. Mm-hmm. That's talking about the covenant that God made with Abraham.
Right.
When the Israeli nation was created, when the people were set aside as a people for God.
Mm-hmm.
And Bollinger writes the significance of eight, that it signifies oil,
mm-hmm,
abundance, oil as in a burnt offering, the lamps, and abundance. It's also 7 plus 1, or the first day in a new week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Feast of Tabernacles lasted 8 days. The first, mm-hmm, day was a day of rest, as was the last day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a reminder of the 40 years of wandering in the desert after leaving Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, during that time, the Israelites had to wander because of their grumbling and complaining.
Right.
And so that was their punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And so 8 signifies abundance. And for 8 days, the oil burned in the lamp when the supply had run out.
Uh-huh.
And Samuel had heard God calling him to alert him.
Mm-hmm.
Eight also represents regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Noah and his family were 8 that, mm-hmm, were called and saved when the rest of the world was destroyed.
Right.
And it also represents resurrection. Christ rose on the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Or which is the 8th day in Bollinger's analysis.
Right.
So we want to remember, as you pointed out, the spiritual condition here of Saul is pretty poor.
Yes.
You know, there's constant turmoil. The Israelites have started to wander away from God again.
Right.
And this is important to know. So David, being the eighth son and obedient to God, which is very significant here, mm-hmm. you know, Saul is going about things his own way. His heart has hardened towards God. And that's the condition we're seeing of the Israelites. And so as the king goes, so goes the people.
The people, right.
You know, just as a husband goes, so goes his household.
Mm-hmm.
So now David comes in, and this now signifies a change in Israel. You know, Christ also came from the line of David, not Saul. So we see a lot of significance here, pointing to the resurrection, the regeneration, the line that would descend, you know, descend from him.
Right.
It's just so much meat that's contained in just these few verses. It's just incredible.
Right.
As we start digging into it. So, you know, Scripture is very precise and prescriptive when it comes to the sacrifices and the ceremonies. And as you mentioned, Israel is at constant turmoil under Saul. And what did he do? He went and performed the sacrifice himself.
Yes.
That is an act of him rejecting God's authority.
Uh-huh.
He's not following the prescriptive path that God laid out in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And he's failing to wait on the Lord. So God passed over him and is appointing another king.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very symbolic because we're going to be seeing a change in the people, a change in the way that they receive David and his leadership style.
Right.
And the whole kingdom, the whole people come back under God's authority and their obedience. So this is these are some great verses.
Right. Now, thank you, Rob. And the last week, can you imagine that they cried to God, they wanted their own king, they wanted to be like the other nations around them. Samuel cried to God, and God said, well, Samuel, give them what they want, what they need. Saul was given to them as their king, but here is the man who took over the kingdom, and the first thing he did was what? To disobey God. And that's why you talk about him. He had no right to make the sacrifice. He could not wait. All right? And the second thing, God also commanded him to go and wipe out certain area, enemies of Israel, the Amalekites. But when he went up, what did he do? He saved the king and saved other things. So thereupon, God said, no, I cannot work with this man because he's always disobeying. Now, that's what we learned last week. Now, this week, this is what we're going to study. All right? This week, we are going to really study about, you know, the anointing of David. Few things that we want to study today as we study together. David's anointing as the second king of Israel was the beginning of his training to the throne. Now, what I'm saying here is that the anointing of David, we studied throughout that it was the beginning of his training to the throne of Israel. The second thing we'll study here in this tonight is David was the youngest son of Jesse, a descendant of Judah, Leah's son by Jacob, whom the patriarch blessed with the scepter of Israel. You know, say that. Judah's inclusion in the line of Christ and of David stems from his repentance for joining in line with Jacob about Joseph's death. In reality, they sold him. In a similar situation, he was willing to imprison for Benjamin when Joseph tested them. He repented, and we're going to follow up in our teaching tonight to learn that. Now, we're also going to learn that Rahab, the prostitute of Jericho, who helped the two men who spied Jericho, was also included in the line of Jacob and of Christ. This is something that is so exciting to know that the Rahab of Jericho is also what is in the line of David and the line of Christ. This is exciting. All right. Now, today we get Joshua from our text that we've read. God spoke to the prophet Samuel. Well, actually, from our study last week, Samuel was really praying, you know, and crying to God for Saul. But then God spoke to him, Samuel, get up and go to Bethlehem, and there you will anoint the new king. When Samuel got there, when the elders of Bethlehem saw him, they trembled, the Bible says. Because they didn't know what was happening. The prophet Samuel was with them, and they thought something terrible was going on. But however, Samuel told them, I'm here to make a sacrifice. So everyone consecrated themselves. But Samuel consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. King Saul was still on the throne. And this is the key thing that I want us to check very carefully. King Saul was still on the throne when David was anointed to be king of Israel. David was enrolled immediately after that ceremony. The war continued, and then David had to go and fight Goliath. It's another whole story. We all know that. But David got into the army of Saul to fight for Israel. But I termed that was David's spiritual school of brokenness. Now, God will always call broken people to do his work. And this is something that many people do not understand. God will always, when God called to use you, hey, you had to be broken before you can walk in obedience with God. Now, I love what Jim Edwards said. He made a great point in his book, A Tale of Three Kings. In commenting on David's enrollment in Saul's army, which he termed University of Brokenness, and Saul being used to crush him, said, quote, in God's secret school of submission and brokenness, why are there so few students? Because all students in this school must suffer much pain. And as you might guess, it is often the unbroken ruler whom God sovereignly picks who meets out the pain. David was once a student in this school, and Saul was God's chosen way to crush David. Now, I just love what he say here, you know. Whenever we are called, we have to be, what do you think about what James said here?
Oh yeah, when you're called, you gotta respond.
Right.
And he's right. Sometimes, you know, like Jonah, had to be broken first.
Right.
You know, it's unfortunately the sinful nature, us as believers are not always obedient.
Right.
And we see this time and time again through Scripture. But here, what is important, we see Samuel going. When God said go and anoint, he went. You know, he took the horn of oil and he anointed David in the midst of all of his brothers, in the midst of his family. And what did we see happen? At that moment that he was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him.
The Spirit of God came upon him.
And remember, he's the eighth son.
Uh-huh.
You know, eight oil, anointing, regenerative, resurrection, all these things. It's very symbolic here as well as what is physically happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the next verse, 1 Samuel 16:14, it says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. at that point.
At that point.
And the protection that was upon him was lifted. You know, then he became tormented from that point on. So there's so much that's happening here. It's just rich. You know, and then we look and we see that the town leaders are trembling.
Right.
You know, they don't know what's happening.
They don't know what happened, right.
So it's just a lot.
They didn't know what was going on when they saw Samuel. They were just trembling. What's going on here? But
yes,
it's the whole thing there. Samuel said, "Look, I'm here to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. You need to do what? To consecrate yourself and come to the table." All right, here David was anointed to take over the throne of Israel. But the thing that I wanted to think about that, Rob, is he did not take over right away. It took many years. And in most of my teachings and writings, I have told people that David was put in a spiritual school. Like any other leader, man of God, when you are called by God to do specific work, God will place you in that school. It's not a classroom where you will have a professor standing before you to lecture you. But God will place you in a classroom that you will learn all your lessons through life situations. And God will prepare you. And that was the preparation to the throne. David, when David got into the army, and I love what Edward said. Edward really agreed with me, and I also agree with him too, that David was placed in what he called the University of Brokenness. And you know, Rob, and all those that are listening with us, God will always use broken people. If you are not broken, you will not walk in obedience with God. And so before God uses you, he will have to make sure to put you in that school that you will be broken. And then you will have the heart to listen to him and say, "Lord, what should I do for you?" Now,
that's right.
Two major areas that we're going to study tonight on David. We have looked at his anointing. And right away, after David's anointing, he did not do what? He did not take over the throne right away, but he was placed into a spiritual school to be prepared for the throne. It took many years before he gets there. David, what he did, we know a great story that we don't want to focus on it here, but when he got into the army of Saul, what put him into the army was one Goliath. We know that story. Goliath came, the Philistines, he came and stood, and he was a great hero and began to say all sort of evil things against Israel, and there was not a man in Israel to stand to fight that man. And who was the man that God sent to fight him, Rob?
David.
God sent David. And David killed Goliath. See, David began to serve. But David was serving on some extreme pressure because Saul hated him. And Saul wanted to kill him. That was the problem. But one key area of David that I want us to study tonight, which is the key part here, is his genealogy. The genealogy of David. What is his family line? Why is it that when God took the kingdom from Saul, he gave it to David? What is his connection? And these are the things we will look at tonight. And let's look at it very carefully. All right. And we can see this in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. I'm using the Gospel of Matthew's account, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 to 6. And let me read that. All right. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah. and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mothers were Tamar. Perez, the father of Hebron. Hebron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Ruth, Rahab, rather. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. And now, what I want you to note very carefully, if you are, I have most of the names in red. And we're going to discuss those names that are in red. I pointed them out to stand out because we'll look at them very carefully in our teaching today. All right? Okay. The first name that we need to look at is the name Judah. Who was Judah? Now, for those of you, we've been studying Jacob, all right? We had about 12 or 13 videos on Jacob. So you can go back there, but we see Judah was a fourth son of Leah and Jacob. And who was Leah? Rock, can you still remember who was Leah?
Absolutely. Remember. when Jacob was fleeing from Esau,
right,
and seeking a wife, he first saw Rachel and was infatuated with her.
Right.
Remember, he was drawn to her beauty.
Right.
First. And Leah was plain. And Jacob was tricked into marrying her. But we remember, this is not what God looks at.
That's right.
You know, for here, we read in 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
You got it.
And in Isaiah 53:2, we read, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness.
Mm-hmm.
And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, this is talking about Jesus.
Right.
You know, he's not attractive to the worldly minded. But spiritually, however, it's a big difference.
Yes.
So, yeah. So again, here we see so much that we can learn from. And, you know, Leah played a very important role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though she was rejected by her husband, her household, God still honored her.
Right. This is a point. And this is a point. Great. You made a strong point, Rob. You really made a strong. Yeah, go ahead. I love it.
That was it. It's just, you know, God still honored her in her role.
Right.
And so through her came Christ.
Right. Very good. This is the point that I want our people who are listening or who are with us live tonight to get this point. Even though Jacob was in love with Rachel and hated, in fact, the scripture said that, and hated Leah, but God honored her. And, you know, God is God. It's not what we think we can do, but what God wants done. So this is a key point. And I put a note here. I said, note that the hated wife's son, Judah, was mentioned in the line of David and of Jesus Christ, and not Joseph or Benjamin, Rachel's two sons. Even though we need to be to get a point, the two sons of Rachel, they play a key role, and as we will study as we go ahead, they play a key role. But the scepter of Israel was given to Judah, and the power to lead was given to the hated wife. And this is what God is doing in the life of Jacob. Now,
well, and remember,
yeah,
you know, there's another point in that too.
Mm-hmm.
In you know, Jacob was infatuated with Rachel.
Yeah.
You know, Leah, there wasn't that beauty in her yet.
Right.
God saw the potential. You know, it's the same that we have as believers, you know, often rejected by the world, just as Christ was rejected.
Yeah.
But yet, still so much that, you know, prophecy that was fulfilled through her, and salvation only came from her seed.
Right.
So important to remember.
Right. You're right. See, so what we're saying here is that that does not imply that the sons of Rachel were not blessed, because you see, Joshua, Gideon, and Samuel were descendants from Joseph. Note that Joshua, Gideon, and Samuel were descendants from Joseph, and Saul, Esther, and Paul descended from Benjamin. All right, but the key point here, the scepter of Israel, the leadership of the whole tribe of Israel was given to Judah. This is the point we're trying to make here. And this is the point the text is making here. See, Jacob blesses Judah while on the bed, and he said, the scepter will not depart from you. You will always lead your people. That was the blessing of Jacob when he was about to die. He called his 12 sons together to tell them what would have happened. And if you really note that very carefully, and let me just read that 49. Let me read the Genesis 49, 8 to 12, but let me just read the verse 10 to you because of time. Okay. Verse 10 says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his. That was it. So Judah, the son of Leah, the fourth son of Leah, took over the leadership. And this is a key point that I want us to think. Now, that leadership was the key thing that we trust him, because from Adam to Seth to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, you know, and that's the line of Christ. This is the point that we're making. We're bringing this out because we want you to understand why God selected the son of Jesse to lead Israel, because Jesse's father descended from what? From Judah. And so God had promised the scepter to Judah always. The scepter was not promised to Joseph nor to Benjamin, even though they play key roles in Israel. But the leadership of Israel, God made that promise to who? To Judah. All right. Now, and I want to make a point here. Some scholars have said that when Judah and his brothers went to Joseph, and Joseph tested them, that's a whole story, but I just want to summarize that. And Judah went and cried to Joseph that, look, I don't want you to put this young man Benjamin in prison, but I want you to put me in prison and let the boy go. Because when he remains here, his father is going to die. Many people say that Joseph, you know, they feel that the reason why Judah appealed to Joseph for his brother was because he stood for him to his father. But that's not true. You see, because when they saw Joseph, they all went and lied, and the father didn't do anything. The only thing he did, he wouldn't cry. But they would have gone back and still say, Joseph took the Lord of the land cup. And because they cut it in his sack, he is in jail. And they would have brought the father to Egypt, I mean to to Egypt to see the son. But because he felt that what they did to their father on the camp of Joseph, he never wanted to repeat that anymore. Because his father was old and the father loved the child so much. So he repented. And because of that repentance, God blessed him. And the scepter was given to him. What am I saying here? My dear brother or sister, whenever we repent, the blessing of God is always there for us. Now, the next thing that we're going to study in this genealogy of David and of Jesus Christ is a woman called Tamar. Now, this lady here, this name is just, she was the wife of Judah's first son, Er. You know, Arab. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, you have any comment on Tamar? This is the wife.
No.
Judah's first son. Now listen carefully. Judah's first son, his name is Er, married to this young lady. But then his father Judah. When Judah had three sons in that area, when the first son married to this woman Tamar, he died because he didn't do certain things. I don't want to go into that. Then the second son came and married to the same woman, and he also died. So the youngest son now, Judah was afraid and said, "No, I'm not going to give my youngest son to this woman." But you know. And Judah lied to the woman, said, "Go home and just wait there and still be a widow. When my son grows up, then of course he will marry to you." But he was not serious. But what did the woman do? Okay, Tamar went and tricked Judah. She acted like a prostitute. And Judah went into her, and immediately she got pregnant. So we know that story when the news got to Judah, that the woman who is the widow in her family household, she is now pregnant. What did Judah say? He said, "Okay, bring that woman, she will surely die." But when Tamar appeared to Judah, what did she do? She took those things that Judah gave to her. Judah did not redeem, because when she went and got pregnant, she disappeared. Judah sent the good right. thing and think that to set the thing free. The woman was nowhere, and they told Judah, "No, there's no prostitute in this land." But then the woman brought us. He said, "Do you know?" He said, "My lord Judah, the man who I'm pregnant for, this thing belong to the man." And when he looked at her, what did he say? He said, "You are richer than me." So he said, "You are richer than me." So so what is happening there is that when a woman delivers, she have a twin. And one is parent, the other one is zero. And from this twin, God raised up one to be the line of Christ. And that one that God raised up is Paris. So little, what do we see in the whole thing? And I just loved it. I'm seeing that God is the promise keeper. There's no holiness in this issue right now as I speak. Judah was doing his own thing. And look what he did. But God is the promise keeper. Whatever God said he would do for you, he is going to do it. He is God. And we see that God gave the promise to perish. The next person that we'll look at in this genealogy of David is Rahab. Rahab was the prostitute of Jericho who helped the two spies that went to spy Jericho. All right? So when Ezra went and destroyed Jericho, they took Rahab home to live there, and Rahab married to Selma. And then Rahab and Selma have a son, and gave his name Boaz. Now don't forget, now Boaz was married to Ruth, and who was Ruth? Ruth the Moabite, who came along with Naomi. This is a great story here. You know, I don't think we're going to finish just today because there's some good stuff in here that I don't want us to rush over. All right. So, and our time, but this is God's. And the reason we are looking at that, we look at the anointing of David, and then he entered into this spiritual school, and God began to prepare him for the throne, even though instantaneously he became the leader of Israel spiritually, but he did not take the throne right away. God put him in what our dear brother called the University of Brokenness, where he will have to go through so many tough times and be broken in order to obey God. All right. And so we are looking at the whole genealogy. We look at Judah, the fourth son of Leah. We look at Tamar. We look at Perez. I mean, these are great stories. Rahab. These are people that came from different backgrounds. Tamar came from a terrible background. Rahab. And all these people, guess what is going on? They are in the family line of who? Of Jesus Christ and of David. And I love that. Okay. Now, for time, we can't go further. But, hey, we're going to pick up from Boaz next week when we'll come back. Invite someone. And let me ask Rod if you have a concluding remark, because we got some good stuff here. We just want to rush it. All right. Where we start, we stop. Hey, Mike, do you have any, Rob, do you have any concluding remark before we can unmute everyone?
Yes, so I just want to reiterate what you said about brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we have such an amazing picture that's painted where we see a people that are so much less than perfect.
Yeah.
Many rejected by the world. Many in positions that would be looked down upon.
Right.
And what did Christ say? That he would be, you know, despised by the world, just
right.
as we are, as his followers. Yet he cares for us so deeply. We must not forget that his plan will work out.
Mm-hmm.
He will see it through. And yes, many times we have to be broken to become obedient. But we see here, David was obedient from the very beginning.
Right.
And he wasn't, you know, Jesse brought all of his sons, but David was left to tend to the sheep.
Yeah, he never thought about him.
Yeah, he was even thought about it, almost rejected in a way, but he was the one.
Mm-hmm.
And then now here, he doesn't ascend to the throne. He has to be patient, and he has to wait for God's timing.
Right.
So it's such a wonderful picture that's painted of how we should be following, you know, in his footsteps as God's calling and stirring upon us. You know, we must act and we must be obedient, and we must also wait until it is his timing and not our timing.
Right. I agree with you, Rob, and thank you so much. That's a great concluding point. We need to be patient in all that we do. Okay. Now, before I unmute everyone, those who will be listening to this teaching on our website, please leave us a comment. There is a place on our website where you can leave us a comment. What you think about the teaching, it will help us to prepare more and more. And if you are listening to this on YouTube, we have thumbs up and thumbs down. Hit the button with whatever decision you have. Whatever we're doing good, you just put thumbs up. If we're not doing good, thumbs down. Whatever you give that, we will love it. We want to get some feedback from you. All right? Make sure to leave us a comment. It will help us. All right? And then to prepare more and more for you. Okay, let me unmute everyone. And if you have a comment to make, and or if you have a question to ask, you're welcome to ask the question or to make a comment, and we will listen to you. If you have no comment, if you have left messages on the machine, whatever, we're going to get back to you as the teaching was going on. Okay, thank you. We're glad that you are with us, and we pray that you will come next week. And we are looking at we look at the anointing of David, and the second part to that that we didn't finish tonight is the genealogy of David. And from there, look what we saw. How some of these people that were just like Rahab, who was a prostitute. Can you imagine that a prostitute is in the line of Jesus Christ? Can you see that Tamar and Judah and their two sons, they're in the line of Christ? What do we see in there? That means it is God doing his own work and not us. So thank you. Okay, Rock, can you lead us in our final prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, we just praise and magnify your name. Oh, Lord, only you are worthy to be praised. Mm. From the most despicable of positions, rejected by the world, tortured by the world, yet, even knowing these things, yet you still came. You still died for us. You sacrificed yourself unselfishly. Your perfect love for us, Father. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lord.
We just give you thanks. Lord, we just thank you for your word, allowing us to draw closer to you, to study your truth, and just to see how much you care for us. Mm. We just thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Next week, invite somebody. Thank you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye.